I mean, I was calling for some love making. Like, the world's about to end. Like, people would be shacking up. Like, that's just the truth of the matter. But it didn't happen. Maybe it just ain't that kind of show. But I was just thinking realistically, like, he's talking to a rock for a couple years. They've obviously both liked each other. World's about to end. Like, the time was right.
Hello, anime fans, and welcome to That Anime Podcast for casual anime fanatics, where we talk all things anime in a fun and uncensored fashion for your listening pleasure. I'm your host, Jordo, and here with me, as always, are my co-hosts and kin. We've got the baby brother, Brennan, and the oldest brother, Colton. What is going on this fine Wednesday night, my brothers? Brennan, we'll start with you since you're the youngest.
No, not much, just trying to fit this podcast in, you know. We're a Sunday night kind of pod. Throwing a wrench in it in the middle of the week, but there's shit to cover and we'll cover it. That's how it's always been and always will be.
Yep. Yeah. Luckily we have the freedom to just record at night, but yeah, it's not as easy. Recording once a week's already a huge commitment. Doing twice a week is...
Right.
Yeah. Nothing crazy going on for you today, Brennan? Just work, business as usual?
Yeah, business as usual. Gym right before and just get home, probably go bed pretty soon after this.
Yeah. What about you, Colton? What's going on?
No, not much. Trying to sell our house, so hopefully it sells quick because we bought some land out in... far away. I won't say where, but I guess it don't matter. It's in Oklahoma still, but it's not that far. But turned our taxes in. Going to get a little refund again this year, so that's always good. You know, but just watching the usuals. Haven't really watched any anime today, so.
Shoot, I got to do my taxes too. I wonder if there's an anime about doing your taxes.
Shit.
To pump me up. Like paying your taxes in another world. Being a tax collector in another world, that'd be an anime right there. Well, did either of you guys watch any anime today, or pretty much just, I guess we're recording pretty shortly after work, so probably not.
Nah, I've been busy all day.
Yeah, I just watched Attack on Titan last night, too, before bed.
So speaking of Attack on Titan, this episode today, we are going to talk about the Crunchyroll Awards. So the way we formatted it is Colton's going to read what the awards are and who was nominated for the awards. And then Brennan and I, since we have not looked them up yet, which has been very hard to avoid, we're going to guess at who won each one. And then Colton's going to tell us who actually won. Then we're going to talk about it. So that's going to be really fun. I've been looking forward to doing this episode since the Crunchyroll Awards came out. And we did the ones from last year, too, so everybody go check out that episode. And then at the end of this episode, we decided we're just going to talk briefly about Attack on Titan, not do a full deep dive, but we're going to have spoilers. We're going to talk about the episode in just generalities of what we thought, specific parts that stuck out to us. So hang around at the end if you have watched Attack on Titan, because we're going to talk it.
We'll timestamp it, too, if you just want Attack on Titan.
Yes, but you ain't going to want to miss these Crunchyroll Awards. We got some good shit planned, some good dialogue. But I haven't watched anything anime-wise today either. As soon as we're done recording, and then I upload this episode, you can bet your ass I'm watching some anime tonight.
Yeah, I'll probably watch a few.
All right, well, Colton, I guess you don't have any news because we just recorded on Sunday, so we'll just save the news for Sunday, unless you've got anything pressing that's worth mentioning on this fine Wednesday.
No, I don't really have any. I won't be here Sunday because I'll be on shift, but I don't really have any pertinent news at the moment.
Dragon Ball Z Budokai 3.
Oh, yeah. Or is it 4? Dragon Ball Z Budokai Tenkaichi 3. Or it might be 4.
Is it Tenkaichi, or I thought it was just Budokai?
Well, it's just going to be a new Budokai Tenkaichi, basically.
I thought the Budokai Tenkaichi was a spinoff, like an extra of Budokai 2.
Well, whatever. It's gonna. There's gonna be a new game. Yeah.
Do you guys happen to know what Budokai and or Tenkaichi means?
Isn't Tenkaichi like the world tournament?
I don't know. I'm asking. I don't know. I'm asking you guys.
I think it is like the world martial arts tournament. I think is the Tenkaichi.
Tenkaichi.
Now I gotta look it up because I don't want to look like a fool.
Yeah, I don't know, but yeah, I did hear there was a new Dragon Ball Fighter game coming out. We used to play that back on the PS2. We had Dragon Ball Z Budokai Tenkaichi 2.
Yeah, so the Tenkaichi Budokai is World Martial Arts Tournament. Oh, it is. But it also says the meaning is, what is the meaning of Tenkaichi? The number one under heaven martial arts gathering.
Nice.
So,
yeah, I'm seeing it translates to strongest under the heavens martial arts tournament. Budokai, so Tenkaichi means strongest under the heavens, and then Budokai means martial arts tournament.
Yeah. And oddly enough, I picked that up from, I think I just picked that up like watching, you know, how sometimes you're watching anime and they say a word and you read it and you just happen to hear it at the same time. I think I remember just hearing like them say Tenkaichi and it was like the World Martial Arts Tournament, and then like I just had that click in my head like, oh, that's why the games were called that.
It's so much faster to say Budokai Tenkaichi than say Strongest Under the Heavens Martial Arts Tournament.
I mean, it's just it's just understood in their language, though, you know?
I know. It's just, it's crazy that their language can have such a compacted thing, like grouping of syllables, but it means something that has so many syllables in our language, in like our native tongue. It's just, it's always been interesting to me.
Kanji.
That's why dubbing is so difficult, because they've got to find the English that translates to roughly the same but still has the same amount of lip flaps as the Japanese. But without further ado, Colton, are we ready to venture off into the Crunchyroll Awards?
I'm ready.
I wish that, you know what, before we start talking about this, did you guys notice anything new on Crunchyroll recently?
No, I don't get on that much. I literally get on to watch My Hero and Blue Lock, and then Attack on Titan more recently. I don't ever browse like, well, let's try to find something tonight. I haven't done that in a while.
Right. I haven't either, actually.
So I didn't even have to browse. I'm just on there going through like the recently watched, and like right underneath it, they've got all of these, it's like anime favorite artists. And so they've got all of Lisa, like all of these anime Anison artists that we like, all of their music videos, their entire catalog of every song they've ever done that has a music video, it's on Crunchyroll now. Huh. So I watched the song Boy by King Gnu, the music video. Don't watch it. It is freaking weird. It doesn't ruin the song, but it's like, this is just wrong. This is just not... Like, the music video should have just been the opening for the Ranking of Kings. They should never have done this music video. They follow around this little, like, chubby Japanese kid around the streets of Japan while people are picking on him wearing masks and stuff. It's just odd. They're, like, throwing food at him and stuff. But it's definitely a new addition to Crunchyroll, all of the music videos. So, everybody, let me know if you've noticed and have watched any that are worth watching, because I've only tried one and I kind of regret it.
Huh.
But I feel like that was worth mentioning since we do, you know, the anime podcast. We're talking Crunchyroll Awards. But I was also going to say, I wish that they would air like the live polling, like the Grammys or something for the Crunchyroll Awards when they announce them. It'd be freaking legit. They get like characters like Goku and Gojo to be the hosts and voice them and everything. But anyways, just late night Wednesday thoughts in my head. But let's go ahead and get on into this, Colton. Sorry to digress there.
No worries. All right. I guess we're starting off with the big ones. So this is going to be for anime of the year. So I'm just going to go down in order in the website. So to keep it simple, I'm not going to go searching for stuff.
So, anime of the year.
Anime of the year. So the nominees for anime of the year are Attack on Titan, Final Season Part 2, Cyberpunk, Edgerunners, Demon Slayer, Entertainment District Arc, Licorice Recoil, Ranking of Kings, and Spy Family. Which one do you think won?
Hmm.
I already know this one. This is the only one I got spoiled, so I won't say anything.
Shit. All right, let me think for a second. So, for me, it's got to be between... it's hard because, like, I can't just say what I like. I have to think of general population. So I'm going to go with Ranking of Kings.
That's what you go with for general population? I feel like that's probably, like, the second worst choice for general population.
Is this for 2023, right?
Yeah, this is for this
2022. Yeah, I'm going with Ranking of Kings.
General population, you think people like their main character to be, like, a deaf little baby guy?
Well, just that general population of people that watch anime, probably every single person watched Ranking of Kings, but not everybody would watch Attack on Titan.
What do you mean everybody watches Attack on Titan?
Cyberpunk, no, not everybody. That's not everybody's cup of tea.
It's definitely everybody's
ranking
more
of
cup
King,
of tea
ranking
than Ranking of
Kings. No, Ranking of Kings is a little bit of shonen, a little bit of slice of life. It's a little bit of everything. A little bit of comedy, a little bit of motion.
I know,
Attack
but not
on
everybody.
Titan's
some
just straight
are,
blood and guts.
Not that I don't think Ranking of Kings is a good anime, because it definitely is and deserves to be nominated there. I just don't see the mass appeal. Maybe it's because I've been in the anime community a little bit longer and seen it evolve, and seen the new wave of people that came in. I just don't think it's a good anime. Just you got to think. Yeah, it doesn't help that I know. I just would never pick that one.
I'm also picking it just because I know that Crunchyroll, like, this isn't all just up to vote. There's like a board, and so they're kind of picking anime that. Like, anime of the year doesn't necessarily mean it's, like, everybody's favorite. It's the one that's, like,
I mean,
they want to win.
The audience typically will, you know, get most of the sway. But you just got to think, like, yeah, there's lots of, like, 10 to 16, like, young people voting. And they love AOT, and they love Demon Slayer. And Edgerunners is on Netflix.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah,
well, I'm sticking with Ranking of Kings, even though you're making me feel like it's definitely not Ranking of Kings.
I mean, I'm not trying to say it's not. It's just funny that you say, "Oh, I'm going." It's the fact that you said you're doing it for mass appeal. Like, that's the one that you thought would be mass appeal.
Well, here's why: because I'm thinking if I'm recommending an anime to just like anybody that anybody could watch, I can't recommend AOT to people like my wife or. Like, friends that have never watched anything.
Demon Slayer.
Same with Demon Slayer. Well, no, Demon Slayer is very... Demon Slayer is pretty heavy into, like, people that would be into shonen, though.
Yeah, but those are easier barrier to entries. At least they're kind of based in, like, a semi-reality world where the other... Like, Ranking of Kings, it's like, he's a talking baby, and then, like, what's the Papenbrook? Not the Papenbrook. his little shadow guy, like, is, like, a character, like... It's just going to be harder for them to suspend the belief, whereas, like, Titans, oh, I could see that, or a dude's fighting with swords, I could see that. I don't know.
I don't know.
If I was going to show somebody an anime that I knew they had to like, I would definitely, that's never watched one, it would definitely not be Ranking of Kings.
Oh, both.
I don't know. I'm sticking with Ranking of Kings.
This is the shit you watching? he's just a boy.
He doesn't talk. Yeah, but my boy's fast as fuck, boy. All right, Colton, who is the winner of Anime of the Year?
Well, who did Brennan pick?
I can't. I already know who.
He said he knows.
I already know who won. Well, my thing was just that he thought that would be the safest bet for mass appeal. All
right, before you say who it was, who won? You said there was one anime like called. Licorice
Recoil.
Licorice Recoil, I don't know what that is, but if it won, it doesn't deserve it because I don't even know what the hell that is.
So it's on Crunchyroll, but it did not win. The winner is...
Okay, good.
Cyberpunk Edgerunners from Studio Trigger. They won Anime of the Year.
Whoa.
Yeah, I was surprised, but I was kind of happy for them because it was a really good anime. I mean...
Yeah, I mean,
me and Jordan both watched it.
The reason I can see it winning is it's on Netflix, especially now, today's anime, you know, how everybody is, all the fandom and stuff. You know, everyone knows AOT and Demon Slayer have big fandom. You can even throw My Hero in there. So then those shows also catch a lot of hate because some people think they get more credit than they should. You know, obviously they should be getting credit. But then something like Cyberpunk, Edgerunners comes out that is like a complete unknown. And it just kind of like, damn, that shit was good. It's kind of like how the movie industry is. When you get like a brand new property that hasn't been out, you weren't expecting it to be that good. That's why I think it won. It's just like the shock value of, damn, I wasn't expecting it to be that good. Where AOT and Demon Slayer,
I don't think anybody was. Yeah.
Exactly. So it just kind of, I think that bolstered it to being the best anime of the year. And maybe that does make it the best because, you know, it's always nice finding a new one. Like last year for me, it was Odd Taxi. Not that it won, but it was just in the category. So
yeah,
just a surprise.
Did you watch? Did you watch Edgerunners, Brendan? Cyberpunk?
I did not.
He should. He should. What is it? 12 episodes or is it 24?
It's shorter than that. It's very short.
I think it may be 12.
It might be 12 episodes.
Yeah, Brendan, but you can knock
it out. I'm not upset. I'm not upset that they won. I'm shocked, but yeah, it's definitely caliber to win. I just never would have guessed that it would win because it's not one that, I don't know. I guess it was pretty powerful for a 12 episode anime though.
I mean, you know
who the voice actor was for that? That played David Martinez. It's our boy Zach Aguilar. Mr. Red Goku won that fight.
He sounds way better as David to me.
He does. Yeah. He sounded way better. He was more like serious in this role.
Yeah.
But damn. Well, there it is. Cyberpunk Edgerunners Anime of the Year. And they're not Studio Trigger, they've already confirmed they're not making because of the budget. They're not making a season 2.
Well, it's not because of the budget. It was never in the plans. It was supposed to just be like a spinoff of the game and to help promote the game in a way. But there was really never any plans to do a season 2.
Dang. All right. Well, what's the next one?
All right. Next category.
Award.
Next award is Best Original Anime. The
Best Original Anime.
The choices are Birdie Wing, Golf Girl Story, Healer Girl, The Orbital Children, Vampire in the Garden, Yuri Deco, or Licorice Recoil. This one is I can guarantee none of us have seen this anime, any of these animes, so
I've never watched them. Who won it?
Well, I was gonna say my guess was gonna be Licorice Recoil. Because it was in the best anime of the year, and none of those other ones were. But then Colton said, "I guarantee none of us have heard of these." The only one I've heard of is Orbital Children, so I'll go with that.
I'm going with Licorice Recoil.
Yes, it is Licorice Recoil.
Shit.
So
we have what is that one? We just heard it on the last category. It's about I'm guessing
Licorice. It's about two females. I don't know, but it's on Crunchyroll. I heard it's actually pretty good. It's from A1 Pictures, same studio that does Sword Art. So
the award Best Original Anime.
So it's not manga based.
Yeah, what does that mean?
You got me. I'm just saying what it says. For Best Original Anime.
I'm wondering what that means.
Nominees for Best Original Anime.
Because they'd all be original.
Technically, they're all original.
Unless they're saying it's just like, it's not manga-based. Like, they just came up with this shit and made a show.
Possibly. I don't know.
Interesting. All right, what's the next one?
All right, so this next one is for the mangakas, really. Best character design.
Ooh, I like it.
Nominees for best character design. So we got Akira Matsushima, who is... I'll just say who they animate so it makes it easier for us. Akira Matsushima for Demon Slayer. Atsuko Nozaki for Ranking of Kings. Kozaki Shimada for Spy Family. Kazumasa Ishida for My Dress Up Darling. Masanori Shino for JoJo's Bizarre Adventure. And Yoi Yashinari for Cyberpunk Edgerunners.
Ooh.
I go with Cyberpunk.
Okay. Go through the list one more time for me, Colton.
Just say the anime. You know, it don't matter.
Yeah, just say the anime.
Demon Slayer, Ranking of Kings, Spy Family, Dress Up Darling, JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, or Cyberpunk.
Shit, Dress Up Darling. Dress Up Darling might be in there.
I'm trying to say Ranking of Kings again, just out of spite.
I'm gonna go with Edgerunners.
I'm gonna go with I keep forgetting it, but when you're saying it, I'm like, that's the one. JoJo's Bizarre Adventure.
Okay. It is neither of those. It is Akira Matsushima for Demon Slayer.
Demon Slayer.
Damn, the only reason I didn't vote him is because
that shit came out a couple years ago.
Yeah, Demon Slayer's been out. It's like he would have wanted another year. That's why I was going with like newer options.
Yeah, I was thinking the same thing, but I guess JoJo's because his style is, you know, super unique. Yeah. So, I mean, I guess Demon Slayer is too, but... All right. Damn, I hope I get at least one of these guests right. Shit.
You guys, if you don't get this one, you guys are pieces of shit. I'm just kidding. But, all right. This next category is best animation. We got Akibi Sailor Uniform, Attack on Titan Final Season Part 2, Demon Slayer Kimetsu no Yaiba, Cyberpunk Edgerunners, Ranking of Kings, or Spy Family. This is for best animation.
I mean, I got to go with Demon Slayer because it's all I've seen. And I definitely don't think it should be Attack on Titan, the final season part two. So
yeah,
and then Edgerunners, I'm sure it looks good. I mean, they had low episode count, so I'm sure the animation quality was high, but you know, the mangaka just won best character design, so I'm hoping the studio pulled off the best animation.
I'm going Demon Slayer too.
And it was pretty fire. That, I mean, it was fire season two, so I mean, if it didn't win, it definitely could have won.
Yeah, I'm going Demon Slayer as well.
That is correct. Demon Slayer, Kimetsu no Yaiba from UFO Table.
Yes. So, I'm glad we guessed one right.
I mean, if you have TikTok and watch anime, you can basically see everybody's posting Demon Slayer
animation. Yeah, I mean,
that last fight was
nuts.
Yeah, I mean, that was crazy animation. And they've already said that it's going to be better for this next season.
Just wait till you guys just wait till this Dark Deku arc concludes. You're gonna see some real shit.
Dark Deku.
All right, what's the next one, Colton?
The next one is the best new series. So this is like for best new anime. You have Spy Family, Call of the Night, Cyberpunk Edgerunners, Licorice Recoil, My Dress Up Darling, or Ya Boy Kong Ming.
Spy Family for sure.
That's what I was going to say, but positive. I think just to make it different, I'll go with Cyberpunk. Since it's new and won Anime of the Year, it would make sense that it won this as well, but it probably didn't, but I'll go Cyberpunk.
Yeah. So the winner is Spy Family from Wit Studio and CloverWorks. So yeah, Spy Family won
Best New
Series.
That's what I'm freaking talking about.
It was pretty good anime.
It's great. It is a great anime.
Yeah, it was going to be between Spy Family and Cyberpunk. So
how do you win the best anime of the year, but then you can't win the, and you're also a new anime, yet you don't win the best new anime?
It's a very good question. It makes zero sense. I was thinking the same exact thing, but for some reason in my head, best new series. Maybe this is what it is. It's going to be a series that continues, whereas Edgerunners is not going to continue. It's not a series anymore.
But it was in the category. Yeah, all right. I mean, it's one way to look at it.
I don't know, you're right. I guess there's just, they made this one up. That way they could give more awards away. It makes no sense, but I'm glad Spy Family won. It's one of my favorite animes, and I've actually been reading the manga on it.
All right, next category is Best Continuing Series. We have One Piece, Attack on Titan Final Season Part 2, Demon Slayer, JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, Kaguya-sama Love is War, and Made in Abyss.
How come Bleach ain't in there? It's technically continued in 2022.
I'm surprised that I hadn't
that
seen
ain't right. That ain't right, yeah. Crunchyroll Awards. Not saying it should have won, but it deserves a mention. This one's tough, though, because there's so many popular ones that are ongoing. It's like...
Yeah, this is a tough one. I'm going to go with Attack on Titan simply because it hasn't won anything yet.
I'm going to go with...
That's my only reason.
I'm going to go with that the One Piece fandom came out of the freaking woodworks to make this shit happen.
Brennan is correct. It is One Piece from Toei Animation. Best continuing series. So there's still One Piece fans out there.
You guys, think about how cool it would be to have characters, like, they make an episode to announce these, and the characters go up and claim their award, they give a speech, and the whole thing is animated. Like, you know how many freaking people would watch this? Every single person would watch it.
I mean, it'd be cool, but it's like, I don't know if they want to break every character. Like, you could do it with, like, Luffy, Goku, Naruto, but it's like, do we really want, like, current Eren Yeager going up and collecting an award?
Yes.
I mean, I would. I just don't know if some people would be like, oh, no, it's think ruined about, the like, show whenever- for me.
Think about, okay, they call Eren Yeager's name because he won, you know, best protagonist, and the rumbling song plays. And he walks up there, gives a speech, and everybody's in the crowd clapping, you know, and stands up like they do at, like, the Oscars. Like, this seriously would be huge. The voice actors just get in there and do a few lines. Even if the whole thing was in, obviously the whole thing would have to be Japanese, but... I feel like all the voice actors would do that shit for free. They'd be like, yeah, let's do this. Let's make a 30-minute special where we do the Crunchyroll Awards. The mangakas all get together, the studios do a weekend together where they all create this thing with their characters. I don't know. It'd be quite the production, but it's definitely worth looking into.
SpongeBob and Patrick are commentating NFL games, so, I mean, it's definitely possible. I mean, Cartman from South Park has introduced the Denver Broncos before a football game. So, I mean, it's been done before, and it can be done
again.
That's
what I'm talking about. This could be huge. Crunchyroll, I know the CEO, he's a subscriber to the pod. If you need somebody to help make this thing happen, just reach out to us. Our email is thatanimepod@gmail.com. Shoot us a message or message us on our Discord or Instagram.
Does Crunchyroll follow us on Instagram? Just kidding.
Maybe?
I don't know if they do follow us.
I'm not sure.
Probably not. Be cool if they did.
Yes, it would.
All right. This next one is a pretty big one. Best opening sequence. So that means best opening song, really. We got...
Rumbling. Attack on
Chainsaw.
Titan. Done. Move on.
Not Chainsaw?
It wasn't even in the category of Chainsaw, so...
What the heck?
It's probably going to be in the 2023.
Here, I'll name them off still. We got Chikikichi Ban Ban for... I have no idea what anime that is. Mixed Nuts from Spy Family. That's also a good song.
Ooh.
Naked Hero from Ranking of Kings. This Fire from Cyberpunk. Zanka Yosanka from Demon Slayer or The Rumbling. From Attack on Titan.
I mean, it's got to be the Rumbling.
Yes.
I mean, it's honestly, it's like, Rumbling. If it didn't win, it was just because, like, it happened so early in 2022, people were trying to get cute with their votes.
Yeah. It's the Rumbling. It has to be.
Yeah, it's the Rumbling.
That's what I'm fucking talking about. We did an anime openings and endings episode. If any old Joe Schmo on the street knew who was gonna win best opening sequence, it's us. We know openings and Attack on Titan and Chainsaw Man, without a doubt, are on a different level. And since Chainsaw Man wasn't even in there, because they're probably going to be in the 2023 awards, it was a given. But well-deserved. Congratulations, the band that made Rumbling. You're now on the map. And we'll talk about it at the end, their new one.
All right. So we got some other categories. They're not as big. Well, we do have some big ones left, but this one's like best score. Do you want me to just read it off, or do you guys even want to guess on these lower ones?
No, I'm going to fucking
guess. Just tell me the anime, at least.
Yeah, just tell me the animes.
So this is best score. I'm guessing it's like the...
like the OSTs.
The music.
Yeah.
Like You Say Run is a score.
Yeah.
Yeah, that
Sadness
from,
and Sorrow.
Violet Evergarden, that's a score.
So you got Cyberpunk, Ya Boy, Kami Ming, Made in Abyss, Demon Slayer, Spy Family, or Attack on Titan.
Either Cyberpunk. Spy or Cyber.
Cyberpunk had neither. Some Daft Punk shit going on.
No, yeah, it is Cyber, Attack then. On Titan.
Ooh.
From Kotei Yamamoto and Hiroyuki Sawano. Those are the
Hiroyuki
best score.
Sawano.
No, 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 no. Yeah. All right. Pretty sure this is a pretty big one. If you guys don't get this right, you're pieces of shit again.
Well, we got the last one right that you said that to us. So
this is for
don't
best.
Don't count your chickens before they hatch.
This is for best anime film. We have Dragon Ball
Demon
Super
Slayer.
Super Hero. No, Demon Slayer's last year. You know what? Oh, One Piece Film Red, The Deer King, Bubble, or Jujutsu Kaisen Zero.
Ooh. Ooh.
I mean,
I'm going JJK Zero.
Yeah, it's got to be JJK Zero, even though, like, Dragon Ball Super, it was tight, but it's got to be JJK. I feel like that came out so long ago, but if it's in the category, I got to go with it.
Yeah, it's JJK from Studio Mappa.
Yeah.
So that was anime.
I gotta
movie
rewatch
of the
that
year.
Shit.
It's on Crunchyroll now, so you can watch it for free.
I know. You remember the main character's name in JJK Zero?
Nope.
Brennan?
Start with an H.
An O.
Oh, I don't remember.
Akatsu. Or Okotsu.
Akatsuki.
What is his last name, though? Okotsu. Yuta. Oh, no, that's not it. Okotsu
JJK.
Bubble.
Or no, that's the...
Yeah, his name is Yuta. Yuta Okotsu. I don't remember Yuta, but... Anyways.
Alright, so this one is for Best Anime Song. So, I guess it's different from Best Opening. But the nominees are... The Rumbling from AOT, Chiki Chai Ban Ban from Ya Boy Kami Ming, Comedy from Spy Family, My Nonfiction from Love is War, Kaguya-sama, Shall We Dance from The Shadow House, and New Genesis from One Piece Film Red.
I mean, that One Piece one might be a banger, but I'm just going to go with The Rumbling. But if it's anything like Best Anime versus... Best new anime that didn't win both. It probably doesn't, but I'm going to go with The Rumbling.
This one's for sure comedy. It's a Spy Family comedy. I'm riding it.
Nope, it's The Rumbling from AOT.
Oh, shit.
I mean, just like, what are people listening to in their car? You know what I'm saying? Like, The Rumbling.
You ain't listening to... If you watch Spy Family, Brennan, you'd be listening to comedy in your car, I'm telling you.
I mean, but it ain't better than The Rumbling, and I ain't even got to hear
no,
some of that.
No, it's, you're right, it's not. It's not. I just thought because it's a different category, maybe they made it so that they could give an award to to somebody else. But yeah, it is a freaking tight song.
All right. Next category.
It doesn't slap, it stomps. It freaking stomps, man.
Stomps, yeah. The rumbling, yeah. I didn't know. It was a little slow under the tree for the new one, but we'll talk about that in a little while.
Yeah.
This is for Best Director. So the nominees are Haro Sotozaki from Demon Slayer, Hiroyuki Imaishi from Cyberpunk, Kazuhiro Furuhashi from Spy Family, Shingo Adachi from Licorice Recoil, Yosuke Hata from Ranking of Kings. What?
This is great just hearing you have to pronounce all these, yeah, these Japanese names.
Yeah. And Yuichiro Hayashi from Attack on Titan. Yuichiro Hayashi, he's the guy who's got fucking massive bags under his eyes from the AOT.
Yeah.
He's the director of MAPPA.
I'm not even going to guess at this.
I'm going to go with Demon Slayer just because the director is, I mean, they direct the animation and, you know, because they develop the manga pages into live action. And I just think Demon Slayer, I just got to go Demon Slayer just because of how it looks. You know, won best animation, so why wouldn't the director also get the award since he directed the animation?
That's a good question. Colton, who won?
Oh, yep, it is Demon Slayer Haro Sotozaki.
Haro Sotozaki. Good job, Haro.
Haro. All right, next category, Best Main Character.
Ooh.
The nominees are Boji, Chisato, Boji from Ranking of Kings, Chisato Nishikigi from Licorice Recoil, David Martinez from Cyberpunk Edgerunner, Lloyd Forger from Spy Family, Eren Yeager from Attack on Titan, and Marin Kitagawa from Dress Up Darling. These are all pretty good main characters.
Yeah.
I'm going with my boy.
Tanjiro.
I'm going with my boy David Martinez. I know a few David Martinez's in real life.
He's like,
I'm
going to
go with Eren Yeager.
Yes, it is Eren Yeager. He's won it like the last 3 years in a row. So
Odakawa won it last year. Yeah, the dude.
Who?
Odakawa won it last year, I thought.
Odd Taxi. I don't know if he did.
He did win it.
Oh, you may be right.
I think Eren Yeager won best
antagonist. Or whatever.
Antagonist. Because he was, remember, he was up for best antagonist and protagonist.
I don't know why they didn't do that category this year. They changed them up.
Wasn't any good ones this year.
Yeah. So the next one is best supporting character. We have
Eren Yeager.
We have Anya Forger.
What do you mean?
From Spy Family. Aya Hayasaka from Love is War. Kage from Ranking of Kings, Rebecca from Cyberpunk, Tengen Uzui from Demon Slayer, Yor Forger from Spy Family.
Damn, that's a hard one.
What's the little dude from Ranking of Kings again?
Kage.
Kage. Kage, yeah, Shadow. My heart goes with him because he's like the only one I know, but I'm going to go with the one from Edgerunners.
Kage reminds me of my horse from Ghost of Tsushima who died.
Was that his name, Kage?
I named him Kage. And I named my new one Sora once I got the new one. Sora.
I don't even know what I named my horse. Yeah, I'm going to go with Edgerunners.
I'm going to go with your Spy Family.
Brett Jordan was Rebecca. Close. It was actually Anya Forger from Spy Family.
Ah,
who won Best Supporting Character.
She deserves it. Yeah. She deserves it.
He's a little pink hair girl.
Anya Forger. She's got the meme. She's got to be the most popular face for anime memes.
Yeah. So for this year, at least.
Yeah, for this year, for sure.
All right. Next category is Best Action. So the nominees for Best Action are Attack on Titan Final Season Part 2, Cyberpunk Edgerunners, Demon Slayer Kimetsu no Yaiba Entertainment District Arc, So I got burps coming in between. JoJo's Bizarre Adventures, Stone Ocean, Licorice Recoil, or Spy Family.
This one, it just kind of goes back to like, it's
I know, these all feel like well, these it's are already, the same categories.
This one's already won the other category, so in theory, Demon Slayer should also take this one.
Or Cyberpunk Edgerunners because it won Best Anime.
I'm going Demon Slayer. It is Demon Slayer.
Yes, the winner is Demon Slayer for Best Action.
Man, I'm really just imagining like Tanjiro going up and getting an award, giving a speech, crying, saying, "This is for you, Rengoku. You won that fight." And then he goes and sits down.
All right, next.
Mr. Rengoku.
Next category is Best Comedy. The nominees for Best Comedy are Ya Boy Kami Ming, or Kong Ming. I keep saying Kami, but it's Kong Ming. Uncle from Another World, which I did watch on Netflix. My Dress Up Darling. Kotaro Lives Alone, which is also on Netflix. Kaguya-sama Love is War. Or Spy Family. Those are the nominees for Best Comedy.
Shit, that's Spy Kotaro. Family. Kotaro Lives Alone is that shit sad as fuck.
I never finished.
They're putting that shit in the comedy. It has really sad moments. Like I watched it. I really did enjoy it a lot. And there, it is funny. Like there's some good laughs in it. But I was watching it, and Darby would like come in periodically. But like every time she did, she'd like end up crying, so she would stop watching it. So, but I'm gonna go with
you. Got to have an effed up sense of humor to think it's funny.
No, I mean, it's definitely funny. It's just, like, it's very poignant, too. But make you feel a little emotional. But I'm going to go with that. I'm going to go with Kotaro because it's the only one I've seen. And I like it.
I'm standing by Spy Family for my answer.
Yeah. The winner is Spy Family for Best Comedy.
I never finished Spy Kotaro. X Family?
Spy X, Spy Family.
I'm just kidding.
People will freaking put your head on a pike for saying shit like that.
I know, I just had to do it because Hunter X Hunter. had to do it for old time's sake.
Yeah. It is good to know, like, whenever you're talking to somebody about anime, it doesn't tell you, like, what kind of watcher they are, but, like, you get a little bit of sense of, like, how new they are. If they say stuff like that, like Colton isn't new to anime, but he'll always read stuff literally like that. So any show that has the X in it, he's saying the X.
Yeah, he's a Hunter X Hunter guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was until and the pod.
You call Gon gone.
He's gone. I called Killua Killa too for a while.
Yeah, you call him Killa, and you still say manga.
I've been doing it for years.
Yeah, you can't teach an old dog new tricks.
All right. Next category is Best Drama. The nominees for Best Drama are Dance Dance Danasur, Kotaro Lives Alone, Attack on Titan Final Season Part 2, 86 Part 2, Cyberpunk Edgerunners, and Made in Abyss, The Golden City of the Scorching Sun.
My heart goes back to Kotaro, but I've been seeing 86 on Crunchyroll for a while, and like all I know is like the little poster they use to advertise it looks dramatic as fuck. So I'm gonna go with 86.
I'm going with the tried and true Attack on Titan.
And the winner is Attack on Titan.
Jeez, Attack on Titan is like that year whenever Game of Thrones won, like, freaking every award. I mean, it makes sense, though. This shit is
I mean, it just goes
big.
To show, like, why, like, people who don't watch anime don't understand it, but, like, anybody who does watch anime, it's just, like, look how many categories it's in, but the show is really all that things. It's action, it's drama, you know what I mean? It's gore. Like, anime has just fallen into so many different categories, whereas, you know, I feel like a lot of people who don't watch it you know, they're not used to shows offering that much to them. Like a Game of Thrones, I guess. And when there is a show that does offer all these different things, it blows up like that.
Mm-hmm. You know what I've noticed hasn't been in a single... has only been in one category is Jujutsu Kaisen. Is that because it all came out in 2021?
Yeah, they only had the movie in 22.
Yeah.
Okay, okay. Okay, good, good. I'm like, damn. Okay.
All right.
Yeah,
next
remember
category.
Like Ao Todo and Yuji versus the Tree Person was like the fight of the year last year, I believe.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, that's right.
Boogie woogie.
All right, next category is Best Fantasy. The nominees for Best Fantasy are The Case Study of Anitas, Ranking of Kings, Overlord Season 4, Mushoku Tensei, Jobless Reincarnation, Season 1, Second Core, Made in Abyss, The Golden City of the Scorching Sun, and Demon Slayer, Kimetsu no Yaiba, Entertainment District Arc. Those are the nominees for Best
Fantasy. I feel like Demon Slayer, yeah, it's a fantasy, but I feel like they shoehorned it in this category too. Like, I'm thinking more traditional, like... what's the one you guys? It's the one you guys like.
Mushoku Tensei.
Yeah, Mushoku Tensei. Like I'm thinking like classic fantasy. Like you get pulled into like knights and wizards, you know. But that's what I'd go with.
That's what I'm going with too. Mushoku Tensei.
I wish it was Mushoku Tensei, but it is Demon Slayer.
Man, they got shafted last year too. I remember they didn't end up winning.
I know they should have won some more awards than they did last year. I don't think they won any this part.
And
Demon
honestly,
Slayer,
this...
Demon Slayer's historically accurate. That's just how it was in the back in Japan, you know, when the samurais were Roman. They had fucking demons running around.
This is what's stupid about this category, like best fantasy. In anime, they're almost all fantasy. Like
Dragon Ball Z is a fantasy, like Attack on Titan.
If you're
going
to have the category, though... If you're going to have the category, though, of best fantasy, it needs to be very specific to, like you mentioned, dragons, knights, wizards. Like, why even have the category if it's just all the same people nominated as that were in best action, best drama, best anime, best series? Like, these awards are fun, but they need to be a little bit more specific. Take notes, Crunchyroll. Take notes.
Yeah. All right. Let me pull up my phone turned off. Next category is Best Romance.
Kaguya-sama, Love is War.
Well, I'm going to at least finish reading them. nominees for Best Romance are Kaguya-sama, Love is War, Call of the Night, Kami Can't Communicate, Love After World Domination, My Dress Up Darling, and Shikimori's Not Just a Cutie.
It's got to be Love is War or My Dress Up Darling, but I'm going to go with Love is War.
Me too. Kaguya-sama, Love is War. I was watching that shit last night too, so it's faded.
Yeah. So it is a Kaguya-sama, Love is War.
Yes.
For Best Romance.
I freaking... really like that show. The English dub is good. It's very good.
So these next ones are for best voice actors, but I'm only going to do them in English and Japanese because that's what we're usually going to watch. I'm not going to do all the other ones.
Are you just guys tell us the character.
Yeah, I will.
I guess in English you can shout the person.
Yeah. So this, yeah, I'm going to say the actual person. So I'm going to do Japanese first. So Best Voice Actor Performance, Japanese.
Golden, go ahead and read the name of the Japanese people, too.
I will. Nominees are... Well, I don't actually know who they're actually voicing, so but I'm guessing they're main characters. Number one is Yuki Kaji from Attack on Titan. I'm assuming he plays Eren Yeager.
I don't think Atsumi, he does.
I don't know.
I don't
Atsumi
know.
Tana... Yeah. Atsumi Tanizaki. Yeah, Yuki Kaji does play Eren Yeager. It's showing it. Atsumi Tanizaki. She plays Anya Forger. I found how to find it now. We got Chika Anzai. She voices Chisato Nishikigi from Licorice Recoil. We have Pharaoh's Eye. She voices Jolin Kujo from JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, Stone Ocean. We have Misaki Kuno. She is the voice of Faputa and Iruyu. Irumuyi from Maiden Abyss, the Golden City of the Scorching Sun. Some of these fucking names. There's one more.
Is that all of them?
No, there's one more. And Natsuki Hanai, who is the voice of Tanjiro Komodo from Demon Slayer. So.
Oh. I feel like Aaron's going to win, but my vote would go for Tanjiro's voice actor. Even though, that's tough, because Aaron, he's just in his emo boy phase, but he's shown hella good range throughout the show, but
yeah.
I'm going to go with the original screamer, even though I do think, I'll just go with Aaron, because I do think he won, his voice actor.
I'm going with Tanjiro. Second runner-up, I'm going with the voice of Anya Forger.
So the winner is Yuki Kaji, the voice of Eren Yeager. So I think he's won it a couple times. All he has to do is just say his name, Eren Yeager.
He's been good, though. You got to think, like, he's got to be, like, you know, like the Naruto, like, I want to be the best scout, I want to kill Titans. He's, like, got to do that voice. Then he's got to be, like, the crying little bitch boy, like, in season 3 when he was always, like, crying and under pressure. And now he just gets to be like the stone cold, like broody boy. So, I mean, he has got to show a pretty good range just with one character. Compared to, you know, Tanjiro, he's just kind of a screamer. A good one, but.
Yeah, I know what you
mean.
Though.
Less diverse. Like less diverse of a character for voice acting.
Mm hmm.
All right, so this is now. Best Voice Actor Performance in English. The nominees are Amanda Lee. She is the voice of Marin Kitagawa from My Dress Up Darling. Zach Aguilar. He is the voice of David Martinez in Cyberpunk Edgerunners.
Damn.
We got
Fighting
Chirami
Demons in the Night,
Lee.
Baby.
Yeah.
He did do good in that.
Yeah, Chirami Lee from Kuz Kotoro. Kotaro Sato and Kotaro lives alone. Yeah, god dang it. We got Natalie Van Sistine. She's the voice of Yor Forger in Spy Family. We got Sungwon Chow, a.k.a. Pro-ZD, who is the voice of Kage in Ranking of Kings. And Zeno Robinson, who is the voice of Gamma 2, which he was an awesome voice actor. And Dragon Ball Super Superhero.
Of all of those people, the only two I actually heard was David Martinez and Kage. And I really liked Kage, but there's no way they're giving him best English voice. So I guess I'm going to have to go with Zach on old David Martinez.
My heart goes with
Zeno Robinson. From
not enough people saw the movie,
good,
but. My heart,
and it's just,
my
it
vote.
Wasn't that much.
Gamma 2 was better than the Gamma 1. Gave up his life.
I couldn't tell you the difference. You know, maybe I just can't remember. But I'd vote for Kotaro, but I know it's Aguilar, David Martinez. Or I guess Zach Aguilar, David Martinez.
Yeah, the winner is Zach Aguilar for best voice actor performance in English.
He's a busy man, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So those are your awards.
He's Tanjiro. Wasn't he Bubble Boy too?
Yep. He gets all of the young characters.
He thinks he's the new JYB, doesn't he? The new Paps.
No, I follow him on I follow him on Instagram because we've joked about his Rengoku stuff so much. I'm like, I got to give this guy a follow. He's actually seems like a pretty normal dude.
Yeah, most of the voice actors are. They're all, you know, seem like pretty chill dudes and gals. Yeah.
He did kill it with David Martinez in that voice acting. Like, you really cannot tell it's Tanjiro at all. It's a completely different range. Damn, I'm shocked. Good for him. That's got to be huge to be a voice actor and win Best English Voice. I mean, that's a big deal.
Shit, JYB would have about 20 of these things. They wasn't doing these awards back in his prime.
Like, yeah, you're
he
right.
He got freaking gypped.
Is that all of them, Colton?
Yeah, it's all of them. There's a lot of categories they didn't do, like in past years, like Best Fight Scene. It's like they skip around on the nominations, but
yeah, I'd love Best
to
Kiss,
see if there's anything more, but yeah, Best Kiss,
Best Death,
kind of stuff.
Pretty loaded, yeah. So not too bad.
Yeah, but those are your winners. A lot of wins from Attack on Titan,
Demon Slayer.
Yeah,
we need to do our own awards next year where we like pick categories like Best Death, Best Most Toxic Fan Base, you know, like funny shit like that. I'll put it on the calendar. We'll revisit that. This is now where we're going to start talking about the Attack on Titan, the final season, part two, right? This episode that came out that was the 1 hour special, it was part two of the final season or part one of the final season?
It's part two.
Okay, so part two of the final season.
I thought it was the final chapters, four. Part one.
It's season four. Part two of the final season.
But it's part one of the final. It's part one of the final chapters, though.
No, it's part two, because part one was the first six episodes, whatever we got before. Eight.
I know, but aren't the final chapters these 2-hour-long movies like their own thing? Like, those things are the final chapters.
I don't know. I just know that's not the end of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The next one is going to be the final chapters, part two. Attack on Titan, the last season, final chapters, part two is the next one, I think.
Well, they've been saying this is part two on everything else.
I have no freaking idea what to call this.
It's the final season, part two, chapter two, chapter one, the final chapters. I don't know. So there's something in there with the final chapters.
It makes no sense how they numbered this thing. Like, it's very confusing.
Well, because they had the final season.
Even finding this episode.
Then they had the final season part two, and now they're doing Attack on Titan, the final season part two, the final chapters part one. It ain't that hard. I don't know what you're not following.
So last season was the final season part one.
No, that was part two.
That was final season part two. So now it's the final season, the final chapters part one.
This is the final season part two. Final chapters part one. The final chapters part two is coming out next.
okay.
Dude's never played Kingdom Hearts or something.
Yeah, I have not. Either way, okay. Let's generally, Colton, what did you think of this 1 hour special that consisted really of two episodes?
Three. Yeah,
it was
23 minutes.
23 minutes.
And it was like 60,
comes
so.
Right about an hour. Yeah, it was right out an hour.
It was.
But it only stopped one time. Like, at the beginning, the episode was called The Rumbling. And then it stopped, and then chapter.
Well, we're just talking about general length. It would qualify
as
general three.
Length, but it was like basically two parts in here.
I mean, you got to think, like, in that 23 minutes on Crunchyroll, there's an opening and ending, too. So it's, you know. It's three.
Yeah. Well, okay, this episode that just aired, I'm looking at it right now. It did have two parts. It had chapter one was titled The Rumbling, and then the second half was called chapter two, titled Sinners.
So the final chapters, part three and four, are coming out next then. Even better.
Guess so. Well, yeah. Or Colton, what'd you think overall of this Attack on Titan episode?
I mean, it was good. It was pretty straightforward. I mean, you didn't expect anything unexpected. You know, people are going to die, and it's part of it.
That's all you got?
Yeah, I think it was definitely good. Like, while we were watching it, I was definitely into it. I was like, you know, paying a lot of attention, like enjoying it. But, you know, now that I've had 24 hours to sit on it or whatever and like think about, okay, we're about to talk about it. Like, what, you know, what am I going to bring to the table? You know, there's not a whole lot I'm bringing. I mean, I have some shit, you know, like, I mean, I guess nothing too crazy happened. We got nothing. The most important stuff was like some of the flashbacks, like to show that, you know, Aaron has been struggling with this. You know, I think that's the more important things to take away from the episode is, you know, it showed some stuff about Aaron, how he was feeling at these different points in the series, which, you know, they've kind of been relying on that kind of shit for a while. Ever since they made the reveal that Aaron's been like controlling it all, you know, they've been using that little system a lot where it's like, go back to a scene we previously saw, but show like this part of it. And then other takeaways, Annie. I mean, I was calling for some lovemaking. Like the world's about to end. Like people would be shacking up. Like that's just the truth of the matter. But it didn't happen.
Maybe not Cheek and Chino.
I mean, maybe it just ain't that kind of show. But I was just thinking realistically, like. He's talking to a rock for a couple of years. They obviously both liked each other. The world's about to end. Like, the time was ripe. But I guess the time wasn't ripe. And then, I guess, final takeaway, it's like...
Yeah, how old are they now? They got to be in their 20s, ain't they?
I'd have no clue. If they're not, they're right on the cusp. I'd hope they're in their 20s. So...
I was thinking that
like, people would be making love, you know, at the end days, and then it got me thinking, like, who the hell knocked up Historia? You know, it brought me back to that.
I know.
And then final thoughts
was
like,
why haven't we heard anything from her?
We need to go Naruto to come in and stop this thing from happening.
I know pain, Aaron. I know loneliness. Believe it.
I mean, he's the only one that could do it, so they're gonna have to fight him because he ain't showing up, I don't think.
So, yeah. My big takeaway from the episode is that they kept talking about freedom, and the whole episode, I feel like they're like throwing in our face, like the only person of all of these people in this show that we're watching, the only person who's truly not free is Aaron. Because his future was decided the moment he was born. Because he goes into Liberio, he meets that kid Ramsey, and he doesn't stop those people from beating the shit out of him because he's like, I can't change the future. And then the very next thing we see is the rumbling, and we see this kid Ramsey and his little brother just get trampled.
No, he did save that kid.
He got his leg crushed first, though.
He did save that kid.
Wait,
what did
you say, Colton?
He did save that kid. He went... Yeah, he walked away, but then he went back.
That was a flashback of him whenever they visited Marley.
Ramsey. Colton, that kid got fucking crushed.
Yeah, that's the same kid. That's the same kid with the money who he saved.
No, he didn't save that kid. He just, that was in the trip when they went to Marley.
I know.
Back when.
Talking about in the backflash, yeah. He saved him in the backflash. I thought that's what Jordan was talking
about.
That
flashback?
Yeah.
No, he didn't save him. He let him get the
brake speed
off him.
No, he didn't save him. He just gave him money.
He just pulled him aside later. Yeah, he just pulled him aside after he got his brake speed off.
No, and he apologized to him.
No, he went because you saw the guys laying on the ground. He beat Aaron beat the shit out of him and went back and saved him. And then he still cried. He brought him to that. He brought him to that cliff. Those guys. They showed the guys. They were laying on the ground, beat to shit.
No, they were. Remember when they were in Marley
drunk from partying?
Yeah, remember when they were in Marley? They were like, they were drinking with the Marleyans, or not the Marleyans, whoever those people were. Like, whenever they came over on the boat, remember they were like partying with those people, and Aaron left for a little bit, and this was the flashback showing that where he went during that. Because remember, they're like, "Where's Aaron?" You'd have to think back into the last season.
Yeah, he brought that kid back, but he did beat up those guys.
That kid just lived there. That was just where he was stationed.
I know that, but he was in the town picking up money.
I mean, what do you mean?
I don't think he did.
What do you mean he saved him? Like, we watched the kid.
He saw the kid getting the shit beat out of him by those guys. Yeah.
And then he left, and we watched the. And then he watched the kid get the. And we watched the kid get the shit beat out of him even more.
Yeah, he did turn around at first, and the guy continued to beat him up. But then you saw Aaron walking back with him, and the guy goes, "Thank you." The kid still had a black eye. But those guys were, they went flashback in, those guys were all laying in the ground in the alley, like they got the shit beat out of them by Aaron. The kid didn't do it. Go back and watch the episode.
I mean, maybe.
You could be right. That's not what I picked up on, but you absolutely could be right. I think that they were trying to show us, though, with however it happened with who got the shit kicked out, they were basically telling us, and Aaron was telling us, no matter what he does, he can't change what's coming.
That's like, right. That's why at first he was going to leave the kid there. He's just like, I can't do anything about it anyway. But he did anyway. He did go back and save the kid, but he knew he was going to die anyway.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So nothing he does is going to change the future. So he's truly not free. Even though he's the one who set this whole thing in motion, it kind of makes you wonder, like, what... Like, it doesn't make sense to me that it's his fault this is happening. But his past self is like, I don't want to do this. Is it the girl Ymir that he made the pact with that
he's controlling her, like, through Zeke?
I know he's controlling her. That's why I'm like, what is going on here? I can't wait to actually get the dialogue and explanation as to.
I mean, he
what
probably knows
is going on inside.
He probably
him.
Knows they're gonna kill his ass, and that'll set things right.
Maybe. I don't know. But, yeah, overall, that's what I got from the episode, is it makes you feel bad for Aaron. Like, he clearly wasn't just from the beginning when he touched Ymir, or Historia, for the first time and started seeing the future. I don't think that he immediately turned bad. I think he struggled with it, like Colton said, for a long time. But at the end of the day, he's a prisoner to his future, just like everybody. And so he's doing this. But he is leaving all of the other Titans. He's letting them be free, letting them choose what to do. And he's like, if you want to stop me, you'll have to kill me.
Yeah.
Were you guys shocked that Annie's dad and Gabby, or like all Gabby's parents and all of them were still alive? Because I was shocked. Because the last time we saw them, remember they were revolting and they tried to bum rush that guy with the gun? At the gates. Looks like they won.
I mean, they didn't show him die, so yeah, I guess I wasn't shocked to see him alive, and it gives a little more, I don't know, adds an extra layer than just seeing, like, all these, you know, warriors, as they're known in Marley, like, just fight Aaron. Like, they'll have their onlookers of their parents. And then we also already got, even if they die before then, we got the... their remorse or whatever, like they're remorseful for what they made their kids do, basically. So, I mean, They can pretty much off them whenever at this point.
Yeah. I didn't really care for them either, the parents. I mean, you could tell just by Reiner's mom, she was a piece of shit. She's just using them. She gave that,
that wicked Titan smile.
Like, yeah, when she started, when he got chosen, she's like, fuck yeah.
Like, one thing that we did learn from this episode is that this rumbling is like the rumbling light. It's just the Titans that were in the walls of Shiganshina. There's apparently way more that have to be activated, but I guess Aaron doesn't have the power. Did you guys pick up on that?
Yeah, basically. I mean, I kind of saw it, and then Darby mentioned it, like, oh, so this isn't like the actual rumbling. And I was like, I guess not. It's basically
because he has to use Zeke to do the rumbling. So like, maybe
well,
he
is. They mentioned that. They mentioned that this is just about 100. It's only about 100 colossal Titans.
Well,
I'm ready to see how Armin's colossal Titan stacks up against these guys. Like, how much?
Just
taller...
picture. Yeah, like those are all the size of the wall. Because those are what's in the wall, and then Armin's Titan, because he stands over it. So he is bigger, but not by, like, a lot.
Yeah. So.
But those are all basically,
lots of sexual,
like,
tension
titans.
Between... Yeah. We get a lot of sexual tension between Armin and Annie, but they don't do anything with it. They say their goodbyes. Gabby, Falco, Yelena, and the Azumabito lady. They all stay on the boat while everybody else goes away in the airship. Pretty much the highlight of the episode was the airship, like, them, like, trying to get out of there before the rumbling hits them, and Hanj says her goodbyes, names Armin, the new captain of the scouts, which was pretty freaking legit. Levi hits her with the Shinzo Sasageyo.
She's like, give your heart.
She's like, I'm pretty sure that's the first time you've ever said that.
Right as he said it, I was like, I even said, like, out loud to Darby, I was like, I don't think he says that. And then she said it, and I was like, yeah, that checks out.
Did you see that when Levi was squeezing that trigger with two fingers, he says, all I need is two fingers. I was like, oh, that's a meme.
Yep, I know.
Can use two fingers for a lot of things.
I mean, it was cool, and I respect Hanja's sacrifice, and it was a good way to go. I just feel like, realistically, maybe like Connie
she
or
wasn't
Jean,
ever that good of a fighter.
Yeah, maybe Connie or Jean should have also died with her. Like, I mean, I get it. Like, I was like, she didn't go over there and like cut one down, and they're gonna topple. But it's like 100 of them, and I feel like somewhat they would step on top of the other Titan and just trample him. I don't know. I just think maybe 2 to 3, her plus Jean and Connie, maybe. Not that I want them to die yet or die at all. I just feel like it's more realistic that they were able to slow him down.
I mean, honestly, she was kind of, they were, at how easily she was fucking these things up.
Could they not just beat them, like, if they all banded together?
Yeah, yeah. Like, get in there, cut a nape, get out, cool off, don't let your clothes catch on fire. I mean, she took out at least 11 of them.
I mean, like, it's a problem when they get in the water, but yeah, if they caught them over at Marley, like after they flatten shit, but I guess you do be catching on fire and shit.
I know, but like she only caught on fire because she needed to increase how many she was killing quickly, and so she didn't have time to cool off.
Yeah. That's what I just
like. At first, she was getting in, getting out, but then they were getting too close to the airship. So she was like, "I gotta kill, take all these out right now."
Yeah, and I mean, I know for it just seems like for someone we've hardly ever even seen get a confirmed Titan kill, that she would be able to be the one to like hold off the rumbling.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I get that these are like damn near brain dead Titans, you know, they walk, like, they don't really like protect their nape or like swat at or anything, so that could be why I just would have, it just felt like to me it felt like she wasn't enough. And then it really
I agree, it was a little shocking.
Yeah, another thing, it's like whenever she died and like went to the afterlife or whatever, it really really makes you think. It's like, well, we really haven't lost that many important people from the scouts.
I know, like, it's just Captain.
I'm like, there's Erwin, and there's that guy that died, you know, whenever they were, Annie was chasing him, but I don't remember his name. And yep. I was like, everybody else, I don't know.
I know, they didn't even show us the guy that drank, the drunk from episode 1.
Oh, Hanes, or whatever?
Yeah, yeah.
They should have showed Marco, too, and, The girl that also talked to Annie, what's her name? Hitch, the guy that he Hitch. Liked.
Yeah, they should have shown us Sasha. I mean, it was just Erwin, but she first woke up, I was
Sasha.
Shit, she's alive.
Why the hell didn't they show Sasha? What the heck's going on? Maybe she was in the background. She definitely should have been like a more prominent one. Like,
yeah,
back when she died, like that was like. That was like a true hit. That was where the Gabby hate started.
Mm-hmm. That was. Yeah, I was like, oh, dang, she's alive. Now they're leaving her. Like, I thought that she cooled off, but yeah, she was in another realm now with Captain Erwin. I guess maybe that's the realm of scout captains. That's why there weren't that many of them. But the ship is off. Onion Capone is flying this thing.
He's going down with that bitch, and, too.
Yeah.
He ain't making it out.
Yeah, he basically said, I'll make sure what we get us there. They've got half a tank. We can't forget to mention that Phlox shows up, and he's the one who shoots the tank, and Mikasa gets to kill him with the ODM gear. And his dying breath is that their only hope is to keep the Titans alive or something, like protect them. Like, don't go. You have to keep the Titans alive.
I mean, that was pretty cool with Locke.
What do you mean by that?
I mean, like, I just, like, whether he's on the right side or wrong, like, he was all, like, he believed in what he was doing.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, kind of like Kisame, whenever he got beat by Mike Guy, like, he still didn't give up any info on the Akatsuki.
Yeah.
Like, respectable type shit to do. Like, he never gave up on the mission.
Yeah, he apparently held on to the outside of the boat the whole way there.
Yeah.
Just taking waves to the face the whole time. Yeah, freaking Flock, man. But anyways, now they're in the air, and this is where it kind of cuts to the second half. They're in the plane, and Armin's like trying to come up with a plan, because they really don't have a plan other than trying to talk to Eren, and then worst case scenario, they go nuclear with the Colossal Titan and hope it just blows Eren to shit and kills him. And in talking about this, they're all talking about how they don't want it to come to that. Eren summons them to that world that Ymir was from, where the tree is. And basically what we learn there is that Eren's not going to change his mind. You can't talk me out of this. If you want to stop me, you're going to have to fucking kill me. That's basically what he says. And then he sends their asses back. But what was cool about the scene is that everybody kind of realized, like, shit, Eren's doing this probably because he has to, or he feels like he has to. He's conflicted, and he probably wants us to stop him, because Reiner, like, they've all been there. Like, they've all been on the wrong side, and they weren't doing it necessarily because they wanted to. They were doing it out of loyalty to protect the people that they loved. So it's definitely why Eren's doing it. It just would suck if they have to kill him to end this thing.
It'd be pretty anticlimactic if they just, like, resolved it. And, I mean, I guess I could see that. Either way, he's dying in, like, 2 or 3 years, so. Even if they did stop, you know, he could atone for his sins until he died. And then, you know, Armin's dying in, like, 4 or 5 years, or maybe sooner, I don't know. They're not long for this world, any of them, besides Connie and John and Mikasa.
So Falco has a dream. I guess he's having dreams about the Beast Titan, because he became a Titan because he drank the spinal fluid, right? Is that kind of what you guys got? Like, he got the Titan power from his brother by eating his brother, the jaw. But because he became a pure Titan,
now,
first,
that wasn't his
by
brother,
drinking,
that was a what's Colt. His name's brother?
Gallardo.
Oh yeah, it was Galliard. But he killed his brother, right?
I think
he
did. Reiner
he got
was
killed.
A...
Remember whenever he yelled, he turned into a Titan, and I think he just, like, crushed him. I don't think he. So, yeah, he killed him, but I don't think he ate his brother. I think when he transformed and got big, it just kind of, like... Because remember, he was trying to, like, protect him, and they're like, Zeke, don't yell, and then he, like, looked at him, and he was like, fuck it.
Yeah, he yelled.
He's like,
anyway,
I'm sorry. Yeah, that was fucking awesome. But yeah, Falco, he comes and tells Annie, and they're like, I think I can help or something. He's having dreams of the Beast Titan. He remembers that Zeke had the ability to, like, manifest things. And he said he was having dreams that he was flying and that he could do it. So then Annie's like, oh shit. And then we don't see them again. So now we're like, okay, Falco. I guess that's why they call him Falco. The boy's going to be flying. But it kind of makes me think, okay, so the Beast Titan had some other powers we didn't know about. Well, more to see on that.
Oh.
And then the last scene is they make it to that place where the last airships are, and the fight breaks out, and this is where they actually start fighting Eren. the Beast Titans being controlled by Aaron. It's kind of like he's using like the Warhammer kind of is what it looked like to make the Beast Titan. And he's using his ass to just throw rocks up at the airships. And how does the episode actually end? They jump down onto the skeleton. All of them are ODM gearing. And
fighting the beast.
That's kind of it. It's just like the classic clash, like right before, like everybody's like charging into each other and like freezes.
Yeah, I like zoomed in on Aaron's face though, and that's like how it ended, right?
More
I'm pretty sure it ended with Armin yelling like Aaron, and then it ended. But it was like it was good. Like looking back on it, it was good. It was just that's all it was though. It was good. Like
yeah, it wasn't really worth like delaying it for over a year, and then like release an hour long. Just like throw these three episodes and the next three that you did an hour long special. Like just throw those in with. You know, the final season.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that works out fine, but, you know, popularity and more time in the spotlight. So, I mean, I'm going to watch it, obviously, because I'm in deep, you know, like everybody else who's watched Attack on Titan. But, yeah, it didn't feel like a special event that needed to be that long. I don't know.
Yeah, and they didn't have an opening sequence. And if I'm being honest, I didn't even notice when they played the new song. Like, I have no recollection of it. I guess because
them playing something at
the
end, but it didn't like catch me hard AF. So I just like I was like, they're not. It must not be that good if they're not throwing it in my face.
Mm-hmm. What did you think, Colton? Did you like go back and like I haven't listened to it at all.
The opening song Under the Tree, it was kind of slow like I predicted. Like, I mean, but I did not go back. I listened to it at the end and I moved on.
I hope they do on the last episode. They like kind of bring back like some of the past openings or at least their OSTs. Red Swan specifically, a nice sad opening that they could use the OST somewhere in there.
Yeah, so we know that Levi is... There's going to be a Beast Titan versus Levi showdown. Oh, one thing we didn't mention is they all agreed that the whole... All along, because Yelena was like, I want to hear your dirty little mouths admit it. Zeke was right all along. The best way to proceed was with the euthanization plan. And they were all like, yes, we'll admit it. He was right. Which is just crazy to think that this Beast guy that has a secret way that he wipes his ass that we'll still never find out... All along, from all those seasons ago, it was like season 2 when they showed us this dude, I think. He was, like, who would have thought he would have been, like, a good guy all along? Who would have thought? Not me. I mean, they're all technically good guys and bad guys in the show. That's why it's so freaking intriguing. But that was, like, the last thing I wanted to mention. I don't really have anything other than that.
I mean, yeah, it was pretty straightforward. I mean, nothing, you didn't expect the unexpected, really. I mean, it was good.
No.
Continue with the story. I mean, we'll watch as it comes.
Mm-hmm.
Who do you guys think?
Anything else from you?
Who do you guys think the lone Brennan. Survivors, or like the survivor bunch? Like, I don't know why, I just feel like Mikasa's got to be like, she lives and Armin and Aaron die, and then like... I'm torn. I feel like one Connie and Jean, one of those two's going to live. I just don't know who.
Oh, they're both dying.
You think Connie and Jean are both dead?
I think somehow only the trio lives. I think Armin lives, Mikasa lives, Aaron lives. Levi, I'm thinking, dies. Connie Shit. Dies, Jean dies.
I mean, that's like best scenario ending for me. Trio lives on. But then either way, then my prediction's right because... Aaron and Armin are gonna die within the next 5 years, so she's gonna be the last.
Yeah, Reiner might live. I don't know. Probably not.
He's only like I feel like he's only. I don't know. I feel like Zeke was a Titan for a while. Can't they only be Titans for like 7 years or some shit like that? Is that how, or is it longer than that?
God, I don't remember.
It's not that
long. We've been watching this show for so long. Yeah, it's not long at all. I think 7 years sounds right, maybe 9.
I say that, and then it's like, I think of Zeke. I feel like that man's been the Beast Titan for like 20 years, just because he's a little bit older than them and has the beard.
Yeah.
And then it's like Reiner, you know, they got theirs like pretty young, Reiner, Annie, and Bertholdt. Like, they went over there pretty freaking young. And, I mean, if it is 7 years, he's got 1 year left at best, him and Annie.
Yeah, their days are numbered, that's for sure.
Yeah. Oh, well.
I don't know. Oh, I got something wrong. I was saying that the Beast Titan manifests powers. They were actually saying Annie manifests powers.
Yeah, the female.
Like, it's part of her ability.
Yeah.
But he was having the dreams of something to do with the Beast, Annie, and I didn't really get it. But either way, it looks like Falco is going to be flying, which is good because they're going to need an airship on account of the Beast Titan fucked all of them up.
You don't think that my last prediction is that everybody dies but Falco and Gabby and then the new Adam and Eve?
Shoot. That would... If that is the ending, I'll be very upset. Like, if literally everyone dies.
Not Falco
like if
and Gabby,
everyone
though.
Dies, I'm okay with it. But it can't just be Falco and Gabby. It would need to be Mikasa.
The children are our future, though.
Yeah, I agree. But I just still am not a huge fan of Gabby. Like, she's good. She's okay.
The only reason I have warmed up to her is because I know my boy Falco likes her. So she's earned some points with me just for that alone.
I mean, that headshot on Aaron was pretty sick, too.
That's true. I forgot about that. That shit was wild.
It was wild.
The show is just freaking wild in general, some of the shit that's happened.
That's why it's hard to remember all this. Like, there's so many rules. It's such an intricate story. But the longer it drags on, the more worried I become that it's like it's muddying the water. And like, did the writer really know where he was going the whole time, or is he just like, we're gonna keep introducing new problems? And then
he knew.
I hope so.
He knew. I'm pretty sure Isayama said like he knew where it was starting, where it needed to go. So I think it's just like connecting it to that point. But I think he's always known. So
yeah. And to think that the only thing we used to care about was, like, what the hell's in that basement?
Yeah, that shit's
and now it's like
insignificant as hell.
It did not matter at all. The freaking royal family did not matter at all. The king did not matter at all.
I mean, he mattered. He was the one stopping them from getting outside the walls. Like, it was his choice. Like, he thought it was best just to keep everybody there, which he's kind of right.
I thought he didn't know. He was ignorant of it. Like, that's part of the king's curse, is, like, you become ignorant to...
Yeah, I mean, when you pass it on or whatever, like, I don't think you become ignorant. I think you're, like, bound, kind of like Aaron is. You don't have the freedom to cause the rumbling, I guess.
Yeah, I'm going to have to rewatch the show one day whenever everything's
out. Yeah, whenever
it's
done, like, that's probably one of the first things I do is just watch it all consecutively and just rot. Slowly while I watch it.
It's weird how this is a straightforward the first season was compared to like all this going on now.
I know. It's very, very tough to keep up with all of it. Maybe we'll do a rewatch podcast in the future.
Yep.
That'd be a lot of episodes though. Well, I don't have anything else. Let's freaking wrap this episode up. This has been one of our longest episodes. We're at an hour and a half here.
Yep. So, thanks for listening.
Yeah. Well, I'm Jordo.
Brennan.
Colton.
We are the Evans Bros, also known as the Casual Anime Fanatics. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Have a great week. And as always, peace out.